Ephesians chapter 3, I just want to read the passage of Scripture. I'm only going to do the last part of this passage, chapter 3, from verse 14. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul has come to the conclusion of the first part of his letter to the Ephesians. He has been talking about some weighty, wonderful things about the glory of God in all of creation and how it has all been knit together in Christ. He has talked about the grace of God, that for by grace are you saved. He has talked about the bringing together of Jew and Gentile in Christ, breaking down every wall. He's talked about the richness of God's mercy towards us, just some incredible, lofty themes and hopes and expectations of who God is and what he has called us to be as a people. And now as he comes to this conclusion of this part of the letter, Paul is asking God to make all this real. He recognizes that it's not just head knowledge. It's not just information. It's not just ideas that are conveyed and wonderful thoughts that are conveyed and written in paper. And so it comes down to this moment here in his letter where he prays this prayer and he says, I pray now that from the limitless resource of God's power, that you would come to know fully and understand fully the greatness of his love, the greatness of his glory, the greatness of his work in you. Because it is truly a work of the Holy Spirit. It is truly a work of God's Spirit in us, which calls us to open up our hearts wide to the work of the Spirit. Paul is praying here that the Spirit will be strong, so strong an influence at the controlling center of their being, at their innermost being. He's talking about that controlling center, the heart, the very innermost being of these people, of us. And that in that place, at the very central command of our lives, we would come to know the fullness of God's love and his work in us. A number of years ago, when I was a student, and I really hungered to see Christ's fullness in my life in every aspect, I came across a little booklet. Most of you, you may be familiar with it, a little booklet, and I read it, and I have read it many times since then, and it gives a very simple challenge about what life with Christ is, with Christ at the very center. The booklet is called My Heart, Christ's Home by Robert Mungar. How many of you are familiar with that little booklet? You know what? This is something worth jotting down if you have it on your notes. If you can find it, you can even pick it up online, this story. I'm going to tell a little bit of that story this morning, but it's definitely a great encouragement of faith in a very practical way. This is essentially what Paul, in his letter, is praying for as he brings to a conclusion this part of the letter. The story is a simple story, but if we allow it, it can change our lives. It's the story of a journey of faith of a young man from the day that he opened his heart to Jesus and said, I want to follow you. And he describes it as saying, well, it wasn't spectacular, and a spectacular emotional thing.
He talks about what God did in his heart when he opened up his heart to Christ. And he says how the light went on and how music came where there was stillness. And it says he filled the emptiness with his own loving, wonderful fellowship. And so Munger, the author, goes on to tell how he showed Christ around the house of his heart. And he invited him to settle down into this house and to the various rooms and to be perfectly at home, welcoming him room by room. The first room that they walked into was the study or the library. You might call it the study of the mind, he says. And he comments, he says, now in my home, this room is the mind of the mind, is a very small room with very thick walls. So that's an interesting reflection on himself. But it's an important room. It's a room which really is the control room of the house. And they peered also into other rooms, the dining room of his appetites and his desires. They spent a little time in the workshop where his talents and skills were kept, the rumpus room of certain associations and friendships, activities and amusements. They even poked their heads into the hall closet filled with dead, rotting things that he had managed to hoard. They stopped there for a while in this closet. The young follower of Christ simply says, I can't deal with that on my own. Please help me clean out this rotting closet in my life. As Pastor Munger describes each room, they become a reflection of our own hearts as well, because probably the most meaningful was his depiction of the living room, or the drawing room as he called it, that changes the way we view our time with the Lord. Especially when we consider the picture of friendship with God that he portrayed. He writes, we walked into the drawing room. This room was rather intimate and comfortable. I liked it. It had a fireplace, overstuffed chairs, a bookcase, sofa, and quiet atmosphere. Jesus also seemed pleased with this room. He said, this is indeed a delightful room. Let us come here often. It is secluded and quiet, and we can have fellowship together. Well, naturally, as a young Christian, I was thrilled, he writes. I could not think of anything I would rather do than have a few minutes apart with Christ in intimate friendship. And he promised, I will be here every morning early. Meet with me here and we will start the day together. And so morning after morning, I would come downstairs to this drawing room and Jesus would take a book of the Bible. He would open it and then they would read it together. He would tell me of its riches and unfold its truths. They were wonderful hours together. In fact, we called the drawing room the withdrawing room. It was a period we had our quiet time together. But little by little, under the pressures of many responsibilities, he writes, this time began to be shortened. I began to miss a day here and then. I would miss it 2 days in a row and often more. I remember one morning when I was in a hurry as I passed by the drawing room. The door was ajar. Looking in, I saw a fire in the fireplace and the Lord sitting there. Blessed Master, he says, forgive me. Have you been here all these mornings? Yes, he said. I told you I would be here every morning to meet you. And then I was even more ashamed. He had been faithful in spite of my faithlessness. I asked his forgiveness, and he readily forgave me. He writes, the trouble with you, this is Jesus speaking. The trouble with you is this. You've been thinking of the quiet time, of the Bible study and prayer time as a factor in your own spiritual progress. But you have also forgotten that this hour means something to me as well. That's what's amazing about this, is this friendship with Jesus as it's depicted in this room by room journey through this home, my heart, Christ's home. Opening our hearts to Christ's fullness and growing in relationship with him is not only for our good, but it's something that Christ desires for us. It's something that Christ welcomes us into. It's not only for our good, but it's also something that he desires and finds pleasure in. Maybe we have a hard time wrapping our heads around this, that the creator of the universe desires
that fellowship, desires that intimacy, that closeness. He relishes that. And so the prayer that Paul is praying here in this passage assumes that the Christian life is not automatic. Life from God comes as a gift, but it's not magic. It is a life of engagement with God's Spirit, a continually opening up of our hearts to God and His work by His Holy Spirit. God intended from the very first for humans to live in relation to Him. And with God's Spirit taking residence in us, that intent is realized. We need to be aware again and again in a fresh way of our need for the Spirit, attentive to His leading and to His purposes, a work on the interior life, ready to be obedient. That's what this prayer is about. It's saying again and again, open up our hearts to the full expression of Christ's love. Now, staying with this idea of rooms in a house, I came across an interesting comment on a home design page. They were talking about preparing guest rooms. This is what they said about a guest room. There are many things you can do to make guests feel welcome in their sleeping quarters, even if you have just a sliver of space to offer. Appoint a guest room as you would your own room, with attention to design and detail, and think of what needs they may have. You want to avoid a guest having to ask for something. Some of the things that stood out for me as he was talking about a guest room was that it's important to make guests feel welcome, even if you have just a sliver of space to offer, this sense of welcome. Also, to appoint a guest room as you would your own room, giving attention to design and detail, giving it priority. Jesus, like no other guest, is welcome into our lives. We welcome Him into our lives. And when we welcome guests to our homes, we look forward to their coming. We look forward to what we're going to experience with them, and we get ready for their arrival, and we prepare ourselves for it. And in the same way, when Jesus is the guest, He comes with them and He brings blessing. He pours out His goodness into our lives. It is in character, His character to give. And when He comes, He gives. And so as we prepare our hearts to host Jesus in this guest room, we invite Him. We ask Him to be fully revealed to us by His Holy Spirit. We welcome Him into our lives. What He brings when He comes is blessing upon blessing. He is the one who does the work in our hearts, in the command center of our lives. He is the one, when He shows up, when He is at home in our hearts, then out of His unlimited resources, He gives us everything we need to make all this stuff happen and stick for His glory and honor. That's what Paul is praying here. He's saying it's not enough to know information about God and His glory and His goodness and the plan of God throughout all of history, but that we would experience it at the innermost parts of our hearts. I've put together a little guest room prayer, a prayer that we can experience Christ in the command center of our lives. Starts out with a very simple, "Come, Lord Jesus, be my guest." And the first part is, "Plant my feet firmly on the love of God." As we invite Christ to live in our lives and to be fully revealed in our hearts and lives, we pray, "Plant my feet." Plant our feet firmly on the love of God. Verse 17, it says, "May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. Just like a true tree has grown up from its roots, the roots bring nourishment that helps the tree survive. Your spiritual root is the love of God. God's love provides you with nourishment and stability. His love is the source of life. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." God's love is unconditional. When God sent His Son into the world to die, there were no strings attached, no hoops to jump through, no creeds to sign off on. He has accepted us even though we were far from Him. He has given us forgiveness, cleansing us of our guilt. Your spiritual house, your life, is built upon the foundation of God's great love. Maybe you can look back on your life and the family that God has put you in or the family God has surrounded you with, and you see times when perhaps you failed, where mistakes have been made, where great pain has been caused and even difficulty has come. I want you to know something. As the love of God, as God's marvelous love is rooted in your life, it is enough to forgive. It is enough to forgive your past if you give it to Him. You don't have to wait till you get your act together, but Jesus wants to help you get your act together as we are rooted in His love. And so we pray, come Lord Jesus, be my guest. Plant my feet firmly in the love of God. And then help me to understand and apply the love of God to my relationships. This verse 18, it says, may you have power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep His love really is. As we apply God's love to our hearts, the greatness of His love, it makes a difference in our relationships. Paul describes something of God's love as he maps out the dimensions of this love in his prayer. He says, God's love is wide. It is wide enough to reach out to the farthest reaches of the world. No one is excluded from His reach. God's love is wide. Even those who do not deserve His love, who do not understand His love, who have rejected His love, the wideness of God's love embraces us all, no matter what we may think or where we might find ourselves in our relationship to Him. God's love is long, it says. It is long enough to stretch across eternity, from heaven to earth. It is relevant. It is real. It is able to be experienced. The love of God is long enough to reach you. He knows your name. He knows where you live. Even when you feel alone, He is with you. That song we sang earlier, I am a friend of God, a beautiful expression of God's love that is so long that it reaches to us. Whenever I sing that song, I always remember one experience I had as we were listening to a choir of orphans from Uganda. And this little guy got up and he says, you know, with his Ugandan accent, he says, I am a friend of God. I did probably not a very good accent in Ugandan. But anyways, but it was amazing to see. And then these kids, as they just radiated the love of God, the length of God's love that had reached them in their situations. And they could declare with confidence, we are friends of God. God's love is high. It's high enough to raise those who have been in the valley of brokenness and despair to the heavenly places. God raises us up in His love. There's no barrier or too great that God's love is not higher. And the love of God is a reality that reminds us there is hope. And God's love is deep. It reaches down to the deepest parts of our human experience and desire, even to the places where we feel we are separated from Him. So wide, so long, so high, and so deep. May God help us to understand the incredible depth, the wonder of God's love. And then the last part of this prayer, fill my life with the fullness of life. In verse 19 it says, may you experience the love of Christ. Though it is so great, you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. It's God's desire for each one of us is that we would live a full life, to live better lives, to be life-giving. There's only one place you can experience the fullness of life that is talked about here, and that offer is for everyone. God's love is available for everyone to be received and to be experienced. And to know this life, to experience this love, you have to be willing to surrender to His leadership and say, I'm going to give up on my own desire to control things. And I'm going to trust You, O God. Jesus, don't just come and visit, but come and take over completely. And when you surrender to the leadership of Jesus Christ, you will begin to experience what fullness of life is all about. There's a paradox here. It's almost unusual to live. As Jesus said, you have to die. If you want to experience the fullness of life, you have to be willing to surrender, to give up on your ideas of what fullness of life looks like. The fullness that Jesus promises is described in the Bible. Most of what we settle for as fullness is nothing more than window dressing. But the fullness of life is found as we surrender our lives to Christ and say, God, be in control. And so come, Lord Jesus, be my guest. May you be at home in my life today. Plant my feet firmly on the foundation of your love for each one of us. Help me to understand and apply the height, the depth, the width, the length of your love in all of our relationships. Fill us with the fullness of life as we surrender to your leadership in everything. Thank you for accepting our invitation today. May our lives reflect your goodness, your greatness. Do more than we can imagine, even more than we could dare to hope. To you, Jesus, be glory forever and ever. In your name we pray. Amen.